Well, tonight is going to be a special night. I hope you're ready for something a little different. But before I share with you how the teaching is going to go tonight, let me just remind you, if you're with us tonight, maybe for the first time, to let us know who you are. And even if this is your 10th time, let us know who you are. You can fill out the Google form. You can send an email to office@newlifeindavie.com. We'd love to hear from you. And I believe every time we've met, we've received some correspondence from people. So we hope that you will do that tonight. And we've been receiving quite a bit this week as a result of the announcement we made on Sunday. And there's been a lot of excitement in the air about that. But let me just remind you what that is. Sunday, we announced that the elders are recommending that we call one of our members, Pete DeRose, to be our next elder. And Pete and Judy have been serving with us for years. Judy is our administrative assistant. Pete and Judy lead our young adult ministry and have already been just serving in a ministry role there continually and in many other ways. But we ordained Pete many years ago, and he's pastored a couple different churches, and now they're here with us. And so we are excited about recommending that to you. We're going to vote on that in a couple of weeks. You should have gotten an email yesterday, and you will be getting a letter in the mail this week if you're a member of our church as we get ready to vote on that. And you can send any comments you want to elders@newlifeindavie.com, elders@newlifeindavie.com. So we're excited about the future and what that's going to mean for us. Well, did something a little different tonight. A couple weeks ago, you heard from my wife through me some things that God was teaching her, and that went pretty well, and you all were very receptive to that. So I wanted to extend that again to another couple people of my family who serve in our church, but they're not here. My father, Clell Coleman, is and Dee, his wife, my mom, live in Key Largo, and they have not been able to be up here with us as they come up every week to be with us and serve. Dad serves as one of our elders. He served for 28 years at Sheridan Hills Baptist Church as the associate pastor there. And so mom and dad are always just full of good things to share, and I wanted you to benefit from what my brother and my sister and our kids all benefit from on a regular basis. So I had a conversation with them via Zoom, and we had a good time talking, and the purpose of the conversation was for them to communicate with you. So they were doing this yesterday with me in mind that you're sitting out there listening to this conversation. So it's rather casual, but I hope it will be meaningful to you to learn from some of our senior members of the church, but also one of the leaders of our church who serve here on a regular basis. So I'm going to let them I'm going to have this conversation with them. At the end of the conversation, there's one little 30-second outtake that I'm going to show you that's pretty humorous, and we'll hold that till the end of something that came up while we were talking. But so if you would listen prayerfully to Clell and Dee Coleman coming to you from Key Largo, Florida, and thank you, Mom and Dad, for tuning in with us tonight. They're watching, I'm sure. And I hope that you get the benefit of this precious couple in your life tonight. Well, we are here tonight with Clell and Dee Coleman, and this is my parents, my wonderful parents, and they are going to be just participating with us tonight in our conversation, our continuing conversation about what God is doing in our lives and all the good that's coming in the middle of this coronavirus time. I hope someday we'll have a better term for it than that. But we've got them with us tonight to talk about the things that God is showing them, what's going on in their lives, for you to continue to hear from your elders and know what God is putting on their hearts so they can do their job, really, and to edify you, the congregation. So we're just going to have a conversation here tonight. We're just going to talk about different things. I'm going to ask Mom and Dad some questions, and I hope that you all will glean from it the good that God has for you in the middle of all this. So
So mom and dad are in Key Largo. What a great place to experience this crisis, if you can say it that way. They've lived down there. How long have y'all lived down there now permanently?
In 10 years this fall.
10 years this fall. And but they drive up most weekends to be with us. Dad is one of our elders and the co-teacher of the Empty Nester Sunday School class, which is really kind of like our senior adult Sunday School class. And they are very committed to a church 90 miles from their home. So that's a wonderful commitment that I hope we can all benefit from. If anybody says they'd have to drive too far to church, they need to say that to Chloe Coleman, and you will get a wonderful exhortation. So anyway, so how's it going down there in the Keys during all this time? Tell us what's happening down on your
end. Well, I can't imagine that it could be going better. Everything, we have the Monroe County Sheriff stopping all the extraneous people that are not residents and all the tourists. So it's gotten very quiet down here. The roads are very passable and easy. I think you'd say it's quiet and peaceful. Lots of people out in our neighborhood, but they're on bicycles and on foot, dragging their dog along or being drugged by their dog, and enjoying one another.
Are the people sensitive and maintaining the social distancing, or are they kind of playing the concrete public and doing their own thing?
Oh, very much. There's a carefulness, I would say. Not a paranoid carefulness, but we see people when they go out and they're in the businesses, or if they're out and they know they're going to be talking to someone about something out in the yard, they have on a mask. Going down the street on their bike, they usually don't, sometimes do.
Do you have any sense of the, I mean, obviously, if you shut down everything coming into the Keys that's not supposed to be there, that doesn't live there, how does that affect the businesses? Do you have any sense of what's going on economically with the Keys?
Well, it's got to really be, because so much of business down here is tourism. We have a lot of motels and the Airbnbs, the people that rent out houses for periods of time down here, all of that is shut down. So that's got to be having a significant effect. All the restaurants and other places like dive shops and hardware. Well, the hardware store is open and the grocery stores are open. And pretty much beyond that, there's not much going on.
So you all have been, like most of the folks in our church, watching and participating via Zoom. So how's that going on? You know, how's an elder view and an elder's wife view of that whole thing? How's that going from your end? Mom, you want to comment on that?
Well, I would say that as elderly people, we are slow with technology. And it has always been a frustration the way it keeps changing. We get used to one thing and here comes another. And we have to learn it all over again. But I would have to say that the live streaming and the Zooming has been a wonderful, wonderful thing because it has kept us connected. And we miss our family down there, up there so much. But this helps us to know that we're all still together, we're all still in it together, and that we all love each other.
Yeah. Now, I think you misunderstood my question a little bit. I said an elder and his wife. You took that to mean elder as in older, but that's okay.
Well, I was meaning older.
Yeah, I know. I meant one of the elders watching it from the other end, but that's okay. You answered my question, but you feel like the live stream's going okay. You're able to participate like that. That's a strange feeling, isn't it?
This past Sunday, we watched three sermons by our three boys, Brad being one of our boys. And so we got to enjoy three great sermons and a great Sunday school lesson.
You can't beat that.
That's pretty good. Now, for those of you who don't know what you mean, they're talking about our church, but also my brother is at Sheridan Hills Baptist Church. He's the pastor there. And my brother-in-law is the pastor of Mulberry Baptist Church in Houma, Louisiana. So you all really were pretty spiritual on Sunday, weren't you? Three sermons, three services, and a Sunday school class. That's pretty good. Well, I hope that everyone is experiencing that. So far, I think it's been like that. Just everybody's rolling with it, and I think that's very positive. So, you know, unusual times spark unusual thoughts. And let's jump into some of the things you all have been thinking about. What has been some of the areas of thought that seem rather extraordinary, you know, something that is sparked by this whole thing that would be, I don't want to say unusual. That's why I chose the word extraordinary. What have been your thoughts during this unusual time? Some of them.
Well, of course, to come back to the live stream a little bit, I have been really surprised at how much we feel connected through the live stream. I thought when I heard the first initial announcements of what was going to be happening in terms of us being down here, not being able to come up to Broward County, and that, and if we did, we'd have a hard time getting back in. But we've been down here almost 2 months now, and the live stream has really helped us at that point. In terms of other observations and experience, I've been, our community is pretty much an outside community, but it's really turned into an outside community. People are on bicycles and on foot much more than they normally are. And people are more friendly. Example, yesterday, we go over and see the sunset on the west side of the island often. And we drove up to our place where we usually watch the sunset. And it's kind of a popular place. And another fellow drove up beside us and blocked our view of what we were going to enjoy. He got out of his car. He looked over and noticed that we were in the car. So he said, "Oh, I didn't know you were in the car. I'm blocking your view. I'll move." And I said, "Well, just a couple of feet will do the job." So he hopped in his car and backed up a couple of feet. And wanted to know if that was okay. So that kind of consideration we see in the grocery stores, we see it, people around our neighborhood here treat us very well, but they've really, now if you need anything, let us know. They get ready to go to the grocery store. They call us and say, "Do you have a shopping list for me?" And Dee has a shopping list for them. They go and do our grocery shopping.
I know that part of that is because, and this is not something you all would ever say, but I know part of that, I've seen it enough to know that everybody in that community loves you all. And they just, anywhere I go down there and I tell somebody, I introduce myself as Coleman, they know exactly who that is, the couple that lives on the corner, and you're well-loved down there. You all have been reaching out even still in the midst of all this. You've had some good outreach. Mom, tell us about some of the people you've been reaching out to, especially as it relates to encouraging them to watch along with you.
Well, we printed up some invitations to the Easter service especially, and took it around, gave it to about 15 people, and we got some feedback from three or four of them that they tuned in and watched and really appreciated it. Really loved Grace and her leading in music, and thought she was just super. But yeah, we pray every morning that God will give us an opportunity to enlist some kind of conversation with our neighbors. And we've had some opportunities to do that So we're just really grateful for that. And I think more and more, if this continues for a while, that there will be people who will tune in again.
There's some people down there that I've tried to reach out to myself, and having acquaintances, and actually they initiated with me a text saying they had actually watched the service at your invitation, something they had never done before. So it was really great that they were able to do that. And I'm glad that they did. And they are gracious there too as well. But I think you've all had some good outreach. So you mentioned your time in the morning, your times of prayer in the morning. Tell us a little bit about how, what that looks like for you all. What does your devotional time look like? And has it adjusted any during this time? Has it been affected by this at all? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, the primary adjustment is that we're not pressed to go do anything or go to Publix to go shopping or something. So we feel at leisure to elongate our morning time. Typically, I'm up early, and I have some time with the Lord, and then Dee is up and fixing breakfast, and then we have breakfast together overlooking the sea, and we read often the Sunday school lesson scriptures, or one of our favorite devotional authors, and have an opportunity to reflect on what we've read or what we've said, and mix in with that what Dee was talking about a moment ago. It seems like concerns for people come up naturally in that, whether it's concerns for Tyners halfway around the world, or our grandson in Switzerland, or a neighbor down the street that's 92 years old that is, we're continuing to have opportunity for have spiritual conversation, especially Dee with her, and people that we have an opportunity to maybe help a little bit. They're putting in their boat, they need an extra hand, or those kinds of things. We find ourselves reflecting on those contacts and praying for those people.
That's great. What when you all meet for your devotion time, what are some of the resources that you all use for that time? I know that you also do it that again in the evening, but just share with us kind of what is it that you use for your devotions?
Well, we've been using our Sunday school lesson scriptures. And then we'll sometimes use Martin Lloyd-Jones devotional.
And Martin Lloyd-Jones was a preacher in London in the middle part of this, early to middle part of this, of last century, I guess I should say, the 1900s. Just a tremendous expositor of the word. Also a doctor who had been converted and was became a pastor. Go ahead.
And we also use Haddon Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon's devotional, and Max Lucado's devotional. And those are the, and all of those have scripture verses or scripture backgrounds. And so we sometimes go to that particular scripture and look at it closer.
Look at the context of very often the devotional only has a verse or two, and we're kind of big on looking at what is the context of that. So we go back, pull out our Bible, and read on both sides of what it has been presented as we consider the verbiage that the author puts in.
You know, I think that's important, because sometimes if we rely only on a devotional, as you said, there's not a lot of Bible reading in that. And so, in fact, with the case with Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers who really ever lived, as far as we're concerned, he may not even give you the whole verse. He might give you two words of the verse.
Yeah.
So So you all go back and actually look up the context of the verse and continue reading. I think that's very instructive for us to not be too spoon-fed with the devotionals, but to actually go to the scriptures. So what scriptures would you say recently, I guess I should say, are there any particular scriptures recently that have just been especially important to you or jumped out at you in the middle of all this unusualness of the times?
I would like to speak to that, and maybe Cleo does too, but last week or so, 2 weeks ago maybe, when Janine was telling about memorizing Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, it brought back a very, very specific, vivid memory of 40 years ago when I discovered that passage and memorized it. And so it was a wonderful passage to be reminded of, that we can know that the Lord is with us and that he will be with us through everything that we go through.
Tell them about the context of visiting the neighbor that brought that verse up, those verses up.
Well, when we lived in Hollywood, I was getting acquainted with a neighbor across the street from us. Her name was Linda Narcisse. And she was dying of cancer, and she knew it. She was a nurse, very well-educated lady, and a very spiritual lady. But anyway, she and I had been talking, and then one day I was sitting at my station, and it's almost like I heard the Lord say, but I don't ever say that the Lord said to me. But it was a very definite impression that I should go and see Linda. So I just got up from my sewing machine, walked across the street, and sat and visited with Linda for an hour or so. And she was showing me Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, that she had discovered and how it helped her to deal with the fear that she had. And so that was just a very special time for me that I remember so well. And that has always been a very special verse or passage for me.
Let's just for the sake of those who are watching who may not be familiar with Isaiah 43, let me just share the first three verses of that just to make sure we all know what we're talking about when it says, "But now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place." And we've stopped when we taught on that with Janine. We stopped at, "I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So that's a very precious, and it's interesting to me that you said you memorized that. And of course, Janine was talking about memorizing it. And I think that that's an important reminder that during this kind of time, we can be memorizing things that we want to have resident in our mind. And you memorized that 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was, I just really appreciate Janine telling her story about that because, it just made it come alive to me again.
Another passage that kind of is up on the front burner these days is Romans 8:28. Actually, again, I'm going to back up to 27. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. There's a great promise there that in this time of uncertainty, when we don't really know how long all this is going to go on, how serious, and especially in the early part of it, how serious is it going to get? To know that God can work good in this And then when you read the context of this, it's not necessarily good for everybody. It's good for those who are called according to God's purposes, that are paying attention to the Lord. That also gives us insight to pay attention to what he's doing in things, like some of the things we've already rehearsed, that we see dads over on the basketball court in our little community park in front of our house playing basketball with their children, that we haven't seen them ever play basketball with their children. We see them taking some of the family members out on their boat when normally we see them
going alone,
or with a couple of guys going out fishing. But now we see families that are really involved. The idea of effect of people drive by in their car, they can't very well see the little plaque that is on the lighthouse that you made for your mother for her birthday several years ago. She wanted a lighthouse for the sake of the congregation. She said she'd like to have a lighthouse. Well, Mark went crazy on it and built an 8-foot model of Carey's Fort Light to scale. And of course, people, they don't always know it's Carey's Fort, but they recognize having seen that when they drive by, so they're very interested. And more recently, as they're not in such a hurry, they come over in the yard and read the little plaque that's there, which rehearses John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So that little plaque is a witness point that people are being drawn to in these days. I have a sermon that I've preached a few times that is built around Psalm 46:10 that simply says, be still and know that I am God. In our rushing to and fro in the world of figuring out all the stuff on the computer and trying to sort through the maze and mess of our politics and just the rush of everything, we can miss who God is. The psalmist that says he looks into the night sky, and in his stillness of looking into the night sky, he comes awake to God and the beauty of the creation and God's personal interest in us, that he could be interested in this molecule-less sized spaceship we travel around on in the great universe that he's created. You have to get still sometimes to really wake up again to the fact that God is God. And coronavirus didn't take him by surprise. And he can choose to move and cause people to think, cause people to wake up, cause people to fear, so that they don't think they're so self-sufficient and so able and in charge. He kind of gets their attention to their weaknesses. And so Psalm 46:10 is important in a time like this, to be still and know who's who.
Amen.
And then, without getting into 18 verses here of other stuff, but what our attitude ought to be in this time, Joshua 1:9, again, context is important, because the Lord is instructing Joshua when he has the daunting task of following Moses in the leadership of the people of Israel. perhaps the greatest leader that has ever come on the pages of history, Moses, and Josh had to come behind him. And that must have been a pretty daunting undertaking. But he was encouraged by the Lord when the Lord said to him over and over in the first few verses of the book of Joshua about being courageous, being courageous. He says, have I not commanded you? He just did three times before this. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed. Now, that business of being dismayed, people that are in these days that have lost their job can really be dismayed. Students that are in college that have had to come home without their people that were looking forward to things going on in school at the end of the year that now are by themselves. They're dismayed. But he says, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's a book, I won't try to rehearse the book, but practicing the presence of God. That idea we can sometimes think that God is a good idea, a philosophical idea, but God is alive today in the world we're in. He didn't sign off in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation opens the future, it's not a sign-off. And all of the Old Testament that comprises so much of our Bible has something to say to us. It's not just a bunch of old antique stuff. It's as up to date as the coronavirus.
Amen.
Those are just some verses that have come up that mean a lot.
That's great. You used two images that I think in some people's mind might be contradictory, but it's so beautiful the way God uses them both. You said, be still. You got a passage on that's ministered to you. And then you have a passage on be courageous. And those two ideas in some ways, for some people may not go together, but they do beautifully in the sovereignty of God and in what he's doing. It's kind of like Paul said he was sorrowful yet rejoicing, but you can be still, but it doesn't mean you're just a couch potato. It means you're being still before God, waiting for him to work on your behalf, but at the same time, you're being courageous. And I think part of the Christian life is learning to discern how to be both at the same time and letting God work in your life. Those are great thoughts. Mom, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, those were the verses that I was thinking about. And there's so many, many more. Every day when we read, we find another one that we can apply to our situation in life at this moment.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. I think that our people will be encouraged by this. Is there anything you just kind of want to leave with us? Maybe just an encouragement, a word of exhortation, a challenge, anything you want to say at all, just even a personal word before we sign off here?
Well, I have one thought that when this whole thing started and it looked like it was going to get blown up pretty big, I began to think to myself, Lord, what are you getting ready to do? Is this a way that you're going to get our attention? And not just Christians, but of course, everybody. Is he going to use this to put us in a place where we have to acknowledge him and turn to him? And so we've been praying for a revival. first to begin in us, because that's where it has to begin, but also to be a time when God can speak to the hearts of people and they begin turning to Him. And that's what we're praying for. And we've had opportunities to talk to people who have really been hit hard down here. We know of some businesses right here in our neighborhood that have gone out. They're no more. And we've been able to talk about how God can take these bad, bad times and use them for good if we will look to Him. And so that's kind of what we've been doing. And that's what we're praying for, that God will work in our friends, work in our acquaintances, especially will work in our family to just make great things come from this whole thing.
I've in the process of looking ahead, I think one way to be optimistic about where all this will go and where it is going is to, I've kind of started a list of the things that I want to do when things get back to normal, if there's any such thing as ever getting back to normal. I kind of hope that we won't get back to normal. I hope we will stay on the edge of what we've learned in this and do something about it. I'm going to try to do that. And so I'm going to keep things fixed better than I have in the past. I am going to turn aside more to spend time with people instead of concentrating on the lawnmower getting fixed and the grass and the trees getting trimmed and all that. I'm going to put more priorities on people and my family. With grandchildren scattered from California to Switzerland, it takes a bit of doing to keep up with them, but I'm going to make an effort to do a better job at that than I have in recent times.
And I know you're serious about that. Not that this is the first time it's ever happened, but I walked by the stove the other day and Grace was cooking something and had Dee Dee and Papa on the screen next to her chatting with them as she was cooking dinner. I thought that was precious, and I'm glad for that. And then I'll hear of other grandkids say, well, I had a good time with Dee Dee and Papa. So I think that's a great challenge even to all of us. We're learning a little more how to use this technology. So why does that have to stop when this is all over?
That's right.
You know, this whole Zoom thing, which we're using right now, has really taken off. And I hope this will be encouragement to families worldwide, you know, to spend time with each other when they can and to do that. Dad, you always say to us, whenever something happens, you say, so what did you learn from that? We say that all the time.
I was going to say something about that today.
Just today, I said something about getting sunburned yesterday and not putting on sunblock. And Grace said, well, what'd you learn from that? But you've kind of answered that question, but that's kind of what that is we got to learn from this somehow and not just wait for it to be over and move on.
Yeah, I hope that things will never get back to the way they were. I'm thinking of that line in one of the episodes of The Chosen. It says when Jesus spoke to one of the disciples and he said, get used to
get used to different.
Yeah. And so I think this is different, and we need to get used to different.
But they're even selling a t-shirt in the online that says get used to different.
Yeah, well, we're kind of being forced to do that, I think. Yeah. I heard a guy say today on a Zoom meeting, a bunch of pastors, and he made an interesting comment, and maybe we'll kind of wrap up with this, and then Dad, I would like for you to pray for everybody, pray for the church and lead us in prayer. But he said, you know, guys, when we start meeting, it was a meeting about how to get things going again and what are we looking for and starting up, what do we need to be thinking about, and when we start meeting again and when to meet. And he said, you know, there's going to be a lot of people in your church that are going to come back to your church different than they were when they stopped, when we all stopped meeting. Enough time's gone by that there's time for something to happen in people's lives, good or bad. They're going to come back better, or they're going to come back more broken. And we need to be ready for that and be thinking that this has affected us. So get used to different is probably a right term, but I think we need to look for the Lord's leadership and how to handle the difference. And I hope there'll be a lot of good different. And I hope people will be willing to share even that. We've had some of those share already. I shared one this morning or last Sunday that was just wonderful. So I hope our folks will be thinking about what is different in your life, you know, and if it's difficult, then what is God doing to help you with it? If it's a blessing, how are you capitalizing on that? So yeah, get used to different. Well, Dad, why don't you lead us in prayer before we go here? And thank you, Mom and Dad, so much for meeting with us. I hope this has been a blessing to the folks that love and know you, and even those who don't, just to see one of our elders and his bride talking about the things of God. So, Dad, if you would lead us.
Thank you. Oh, God, our Father, we stand in awe that you privileged us to live in this place at this time with these circumstances, that we might be challenged in a way that draws us closer to you and closer to each other and closer to the things that really matter. Oh, God, we know that we can't always give thanks for everything, but in everything we can give thanks because there's so much to be thankful for. Now, Lord, for those people that are inordinately challenged in their health, in their jobs, in their family relationships, in their emotional stability, we call out to you and ask for your help to them. We call out to you to ask for your guidance of your spirit, that we might be in on what you're up to in their lives so that they might not only be challenged and helped, but we might be a part of your grand scheme of things. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us New Life Church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Mom and Dad. God bless you all. We look forward to seeing you again soon. And thank you for sharing with us tonight.
All right. Well, you got a little dose of Clell and D. Coleman, and thank you so much for staying to this point to listen to that. I hope you gained from that. I hope that you saw a lot of things there that maybe God would use to encourage your faith, to encourage your practice, your devotional life, just the very simple things that they do. Sometimes it's just good to hear somebody else talk about what they do, and then personalize it in your own life. And just some great words of wisdom there from both of them. By the way, you can watch that again or share it with somebody else in just a few minutes after this time is over and the music stops playing and we close out the live stream. It'll be available on YouTube immediately. You can go back and watch the whole thing. Usually have to go in about 30 minutes to the beginning because the first part is just the announcements and things like that. So before we go, just hope that you will take advantage of that. If there was something you really, just something jumped out at you, send us a note. Let us know what that was, how the Lord ministered to you. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for doing that from Key Largo. Really appreciate you taking the time to do that with us. And before we go, there was one little thing that happened at the beginning that I just thought you might enjoy. So it's 30 seconds long, so let's just watch one little outtake.
Sorry, this
is... How long is this going to be? About?
Well, probably, it depends on how much content you have, but we're going to keep it 45 minutes or less.
Oh, my. Well, I don't have 45 minutes to say, but...
Dad, you always have 45 minutes to say. There's no danger of you not having something to say.
All right, so a little Coleman inside humor there of what kind of goes on between us. Well, thanks again for watching. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll see you on Sunday right here at 10:30 as we always do in our Zoom classrooms for Sunday school. I hope that you have a good and safe rest of your week. We're going to be paying a little closer attention to when we're going to be able to meet again and how we're going to meet. We'll be getting back to you on that. But in the meantime, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week.